all babies are born in hospital today, but that was not always the case. If you are of a, excuse me, a certain age, you will have a memory of a woman in a blue overcoat on a bike with a medical bag in her hand, crisscrossing the countryside on her way to deliver babies at home. The role of the community midwife is remembered in what sounds like an absolutely fascinating new exhibition in the National Museum of Ireland and Country Life in Mayo. Its co-curator is Emma Laffey, who has been researching the role of midwives from the 1900s to the modern day. She joins me on the line now. Emma, very good morning to you.
Good morning, Philip. How are you?
I'm great. Take me back, please, to a time before whale song playlists and aromatherapy candles in the birthing room. Set the scene for a home birth 100 years ago.
A home birth 100 years ago was very different to now, but I suppose its predecessor was known as a handy woman. And she was your local community woman that would have came, she would have done the births, the deaths and the sickness. So when she'd come in, she would, the scene I suppose she'd see when she'd come in would be mostly poverty driven. I have Bina Kelly who describes what she sees when she goes in there. This, she said they wouldn't even have sheets on their beds. And if they did, they would be made from flour bags. They would literally have nothing, she said, literally no food, very little food. And her kindness is really what the women were looking for when they were supported in a very vulnerable time, because death was always very prevalent for these women. It was, they knew when they got pregnant that it was a huge risk for them to die.
Where had they gotten their experience or their training from, though, Emma? Because until before 1918, there was nothing official, was there?
There was nothing official, no. They would have got them from the women before them. It could be an aunt, it could be their mother, their grandmother, whoever that local person was, the women then would in that family would take up the profession. Now, it's very similar to what we have today, but they wouldn't have had, I suppose, you know, cleanliness, or they wouldn't understand infection at that time. And a lot of the women, if they survived the birth, it was the purple sepsis that would have killed them. The cross-contamination that we're all familiar with COVID now, keeping your hands clean and keeping your environment clean. So if they survived the birth, it was another 3 weeks or a month before they really knew whether they had survived it, if you know what I mean.
The handy woman was one name. Unbanned Linna was another one. What does that mean?
It means woman of the knee. So when you see women, the midwife going in, they're always on their knees with the birthing during that period, because they would have had birthing stools or they would have been very low on the ground to try and figure out what was going on with the women. Now, and the other side of it is they would have had, well, I suppose you're going into a time where there was no electricity or running water. And Bina again explains that even when during the birthing, during contraction, they would have blown the candle out to spare the candle, because they wouldn't be able to keep the candle even blowing at that time.
Oh, good Lord. How stretched thin were they? Like, how big an area would each community midwife have to cover?
They would have done, I suppose, 10 to 15 miles, some walking. Later on, they would have got supplied with bikes when they were part of the midwifery, the educated midwifery, or if they were afforded a bike. It was a huge area, and they went out all weathers, all times of the day and night. Whenever they were called, they went. And they could be gone. Some of them were family women, and they could be gone from their own families for 2 and 3 nights at times. You know, they would have had to have someone to help them in their own home.
What were the payment arrangements, Emma? I mean, was each family expected to pay what they could, or would they end up working for free a lot?
Well, I suppose a lot of it would be some of it would have been payment with animals and, you know, like chickens or maybe a bit of meat if they had it off the farm. I know later on, say, when the Midwifery Act came in, and they were paid annually by the government, and then whatever the people could afford themselves, like, again, it could be just an animal or a piece of meat or whatever they'd have, you know.
There's one piece of kindness that I'm really struck by, and that's the christening gown that they brought with them.
Yes. So in this exhibition with Mary Ann Fanning, we're highlighting Mary Ann. She really is just the face of all of these community women, because the Fanning family have kept so much memorabilia. And in that is the christening gown. So the christening gown, she made herself, and it was for her own children. And this was in 1902, where her first child was born. And she christened all her own children, her grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And I think there's a great-great in there, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But she also used the christening gown for all the local women that she would have helped birth during that period. The women would have been in what they call confinement at that time for a few days after she gave birth. And she would go along with the father or the family member, and they go to the church and christen. And she used to use the christening gown to have all these children baptised.
I mean, I know we pay our taxes and we expect a certain level of services now, and it's only right that we should get them. But it is very useful, isn't it, to remember how not that long ago very different it was, and how many children could expect to die in childbirth, and indeed how many women.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of women. I did a bit of research on it. It was even a year, I think it was 1929, it was nearly up on 8% of the total population of the Mount Bellew Union. The women passed away, but most of it, if not half or more, was the puerperal sepsis, including my own great-grandmother, which really started the journey. I did a bit of genealogy a number of years ago, and family folklore had said she had passed away, a young woman, I think she was 43, Sarah McBride, she was from her foe in Donegal. And,
how did she die?
She was supposed to be, I'll tell you how what was written on it now. Her little son was still feeding at her breast when she was found passed. So on the little certificate, it said on it, cardiac arrest, maternal exhaustion. That's what really sparked this off for me.
Maternal exhaustion. We had really gentle euphemisms, didn't we, for what were probably horrible deaths.
Horrible deaths. Now, there could have been a number of factors there. Maybe she had an underlying condition that wouldn't have been diagnosed in 1930. You know, she'd seven children. But the reality is poverty was a huge factor in rural Ireland, especially in the West.
And how did that discovery start this journey and this curation of this exhibition for you?
Well, I work in a maternity setting. I'm a HCA in Portiuncla here in Ballinasloe.
Healthcare
and
assistant.
And I see the work... Healthcare assistant, yeah, sorry. And I suppose I see firsthand what these midwives do, which is amazing work, really, day in and day out. But during COVID, I kind of said there must be something in this that for the, you know, for that generation. My great-grandmother was coming in my mind. And I said, I wonder, is there anything written about the older generation of midwives? Mm. And I found there was very little. And I love the holistic, the person themselves, what you can find their story, you know, individual story. So I just started going around locally here. I'm a volunteer with the Skehanan District Heritage Group, and we have a great community here, and they're always coming forward to help us with any information we need. And I got a few of the women on board and got some of their stories. And I really progressed from there.
All of which end up in the exhibition. Before I let you go, I want you to tell me, because it is about Mary Ann Fanning, the woman who you're using as the kind of the every woman of midwives. But tell me specifically, please, about the 124-year-old leather midwifery bag.
I will. So Mary Ann bought her first bag in the late 1800s, we think around maybe 1900. And for her midwifery practice. And during 1916, this bag was involved with the Thomas Ash Raid in Ashburn. And she rendered medical aid to the volunteers during this period. So the bag has a really significant role to play for the women that played a role in the 1916 Rising, which we're really only starting to tap into. But this bag is like a brown leather bag, little handle on it, and it's on display with many other items belong to Mary Ann. Also, her obituary is in it, and it does state that she was in the 1916 Rising, which is great because it's always great to have the black and white to back up the family folklore and the stories. So there's several items there that would be of huge interest to people.
Indeed, present at countless births and the birth of the nation as well. Emma, thank you very much. Good luck with it. It certainly
You're very welcome.
Sounds like many people should be beating a path now to the NMI Country Life, Turlough Park. It's called Mary Ann Fanning, Remembering Our Community Midwives. Emma Laffey, thank you.
It's open from Friday. Thanks a million.
Open from next Friday. Thanks very much.